Hello and welcome to Finn Sportsman. I'm your host, Tyler Finberg, and today we have a great episode for you. I am alongside Sam again. If you did not see our last podcast together, it was our NFL mock draft where we did a full first round mock draft. It was really fun to do, and Sam is back here to do a wide receiver top 30 position rankings. So Sam, before we get started, can you give us a little bit of an intro about yourself? And I know you want to do some pro day stuff for everybody.
Yeah, so hi guys, I'm back on the podcast again. I'm a big draft expert, as we are both. We've been watching a lot of tape over these last few months. If you want to check out more of my content, you can go to Discuss the Game. My username is BigBlue26. But getting into some of the pro days that happened yesterday, it was really interesting to see. It was North Carolina's pro day and Miami of Florida's pro day. So starting off, Diami Brown. I was a little disappointed. His 40-yard dash, he ran a 4.46. From tape, he plays much faster than that, so I was a little bit disappointed. He also came in bottom 50 percentile in height and weight, but yeah, he was pretty good in the vertical drills and the three cone drill, so I'm not too worried about him. But a guy that I am worried about, Daz Newsome. He ran a 4.6 flat. That's in the 16th percentile of receivers, and he did not do good. He wasn't in the top 50 percentile for any drill yesterday. Another guy, Javonte Williams, running back. He was a little bit slower than most people expected. He ran a 4.55, but honestly, I still think he's a second-round running back and the third running back off the board. Chaz Surratt and Michael Carter were a few other notable guys that tried out yesterday. Both did pretty well. But moving on to Miami. Miami's pro day, the edge rushers were the talk of town. Jalen Phillips, a guy that I might now be moving to my number one edge spot, ran a 4.56. That's 93rd percentile out of all edges. He also came in the top 50 percentile in all but two of his drills, and he was just an athletic monster. Gregory Rousseau, 98th percentile for height, but only ran a 4.7 flat. And Quincy Roche had a pretty solid day. He ran a 4.68, but nothing too special. Also, Brevin Jordan, nothing too special from him. So those were the pro days from yesterday. And today you can look out for the Ohio State and Alabama pro day.
Yes, both big pro days coming on today. We also have some big interest in the Alabama. I believe this is their second pro day, actually. Najee Harris, who has been suffering between an ankle injury, will not be running the 40-yard dash, but will be participating in activities as an update. And also, Kyle Shanahan, who traded up for the third pick, will be attending the Mac Jones Pro Day, not the Justin Fields. Sam, before we get started, can you give us a little of your opinion on how Kyle Shanahan is deciding to go to Mac Jones' Pro Day instead of Justin Fields?
Yeah, and you'll see this in my new mock draft that should be coming out today or tomorrow, but I think this pick for the 49ers is between two prospects, and it's between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. I honestly think that they could go with either. Mac Jones, I think Shanahan is interested in him because Shanahan has worked with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's also worked with Kirk Cousins in the past. And those two guys are really high floor guys that can just go in and get the job done. They aren't big, high potential guys that are going to be in the top 10 quarterbacks ever, but they are solid enough that they can get the job done, and that's very, very similar to how Mac Jones plays the game. But on the flip side, you have Trey Lance, and the 49ers front office has been hinting towards keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, and if they really do want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance is the perfect prospect to let him sit under because he's not a day one starter by any means, but probably has the way higher potential than Mac Jones. I think the pick should be Trey Lance, but I think it is down between those two.
Yes, very interesting that he is going to attend Mac Jones's one instead of Justin Fields. I was expecting a little more of a Justin Fields pro day that he would go to, because Justin Fields is obviously a little more mobile than Mac Jones, and that's usually the player of today now. Like Patrick Mahomes, you see Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield kind of can roll out to the side, but that's really what it's getting into now. But as we know, pocket passers have really been what's led teams to the Super Bowl. Roethlisberger, Brady, Breeze, all pocket passers, and Rodgers, but he's really developed into getting better at a scrambler. So all of those guys are top-tier players in the NFL at the quarterback position, and all are pocket passers. So that's really what the NFL is now running, but we've seen pocket passers have really been the quarterback that have won Super Bowls. Now we're going to get into the wide receiver rankings. Both me and Sam have watched a lot of tape on these players. I bet there's going to be a lot of debate here. So get ready. Make sure to stay tuned for the whole podcast. So here, I'm going to start at number 30. We'll save number one for last. Make sure you listen to number one at the end, because there could be a change, but we'll see. At number 30, I got Sammy Fehoko of Stanford. Not a huge guy on my radar. I just don't feel like Stanford used him in the right way last season. He was more of a guy who's there. He played just as like a solid wide receiver one, but didn't get a ton of targets. He was really, when he did get the ball, he did do stuff, but he did not reach his full potential last year. And I think there's a lot of things he could do better, but here I just don't feel like he is the best prospect, or not a solid prospect coming out of college, but I think he could have potential. He probably has a ton of potential, but I just don't think Stanford reached his full potential right now. So he's at number 30 for me.
Yeah, my number 30 is going to be a guy that maybe we disagree on, just like we disagree on Sammy Fehoko. I really happen to like Sammy Fehoko a little bit more, but you probably like this guy a little bit more. At number 30, I have Marquez Stevenson out of Houston. And he gets a lot of hype, but it's really going to come down to his speed. He's just a speedster, just like Jalen Darden out of North Texas, except I like Darden a lot more. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see what his 40-yard dash time is on April 9th.
Yes, I do disagree with Stevenson at number 30. I personally do like Stevenson. I feel like he has gotten, like, his Senior Bowl tape, he really did a lot better than he did in college. He's also, I can see him turning into a special teamer. Maybe that is his full potential, a special teamer, because he really exceeded like a Cordarrelle Patterson is who I'm talking about. Like Cordarrelle Patterson, who was he was a wide receiver at the beginning of his year, but really turned into a special teamer. I really think Marquez Stevenson could turn out to be that. But like you said, speed really helped him. And I honestly think that Sammy Fehoko is at number 30 because of the potential he did not reach in college. Next, we're going to be doing number 29. At number 29, I have a guy who is going to probably go under the radar. Maybe he could be one of those players that is small college, gets picked early because teams really feel like he has a chance because they want to be the team that gets the underrated player. But this is Austin Watkins out of UAB at number 29. He was a player on watching tape. I really liked him. I just don't think he was number one compared to these other guys. He was used in college as a deep route, medium route player. He never was used as a small route player. He also, something I didn't really like was footwork coming right off the bat. He never showed a good move at the first when he was trying to get open until he made that strong cut to make his turn for the deep route or for the medium route. So I really think that a lot of cornerbacks in the NFL are going to figure that out. So I don't think this is a top of the line player right now, but I do feel like he could be a good player in the future. So I have him at number 29.
Yeah, I have him in a pretty similar range as you, but my number 29 is Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn. I think Anthony Schwartz, like, I know he was okay at catching balls in at Auburn, but I think he's really just going to be a speedster, just like Marcus Stevenson. I don't think that he has much catching potential at all, although I do like him a little bit, as he ran a 4.26 at his pro day, but I don't think he has much other than speed.
Okay. I have Anthony Schwartz a lot higher than that, but here at number 28, I have the other Auburn player, Seth Williams. I think he's a top 30 guy in this class. I don't think he is anywhere past 30. I think he's going to be in that like 25, 30 range, but he was the number one receiver at Auburn. You could tell because he was the one that was getting the big players, named players on him. And when watching tape, he didn't really show, he wasn't that good against top of the line cornerbacks in the SEC. Like against JC Horn, he wasn't really a good wide receiver at that point. He did show really good location of the ball. He was able to turn around and get his hands on it, even in a tight situation. So that's good that he can find and locate the ball. But he just did not exceed against JC Horn or any of the Georgia Bulldog cornerbacks when watching tape or any other, really. It was more the small SEC teams that he really thrived against. But here, Williams, he just shows good position of where the ball is coming towards. He's also could use him in small routes like the slant, but I don't see a huge amount of talent coming out of Seth Williams. But here I have him at number 28.
Yeah, I have Williams definitely a little bit higher. I think he's one of those possession guys, and I think he could be that third option on a team, almost like a Sterling Shepard. My number 28 is going to be another Senior Bowl guy. A lot of Senior Bowl reps, not much production at his college, though, and that's Shi Smith out of South Carolina. He put up a pretty good 40 time, 4.43. That's definitely respectable, and you could tell in his Senior Bowl reps that he has the traits and route running to be a solid slot receiver, but he's not going to be much more than that. So he's either going to turn into a special teamer or a decent slot receiver. And that's why he just kind of falls in at number 28. It's nothing against the skill. It's just his physical gifts.
Well, I have Shi Smith. Let's see, where did I put him? I put him up higher in the top 20. But here at number 27, I have Frank Darby out of Arizona State. Some people might disagree with Frank Darby at number 27. Frank Darby, he's a great player. He was mostly a deep route threat at Arizona State. That's usually, if you're a wide receiver in college, you're usually used as a small passes or you are a deep pass player. And he was mostly used at Arizona State as a deep threat. He didn't really exceed at man-to-man. He really knew how to defeat the zone ability because you could tell he knew where to go with the zone and could really defeat the cornerbacks and safeties in the zone, but not a great man-to-man coverage player. So Frank Darby, this guy, I have him at number 27.
Yeah, and some of those people will definitely be me. I have him up inside the top, not top 15, almost in the top 15, top 20, though. He's the ultimate hype man and has great team spirit, and he's always making the big time plays. My number 27 is a guy that you've already mentioned, Austin Watkins out of UAB. So not too much higher than you had him, but he was definitely a good Senior Bowl riser. In my opinion, he's just a little bit worse. Seth Williams, another possession receiver that doesn't really win with speed right off the line, but he will be able to sit down and get into those intermediate routes and make a good play on the football.
Yeah, and my next player at 26, it is, I have Anthony Schwartz coming here at number 26. I like this guy a lot. As I've been moving around my players, I just don't see him going any further than maybe top, like in the 30 through 20 range. I had him once before at like 22, but then he started falling on my list as I started doing other players. And Anthony Schwartz, he's a great player. I felt like he was the better half of that Auburn, the two wide receivers at Auburn. He was used a lot in the screen game because he was the speed of the Auburn team. Seth Williams, more of the strength and more the bigger player at Auburn. But Anthony Schwartz, I liked him a lot. He had a ton of speed. He could blow out the cornerbacks and really a great player. I just don't see him with the other prospects in this draft. I don't see him going any further, really. But I think he might move up a couple of spots. But for right now in my rankings, he's at number 26.
Yeah, my number 26 is going to be Wop Fillior out of Indiana, a guy that could go down my board a little bit, but it's kind of like the Shea Smith situation from him. He showed excellent burst and athletic quickness at his time in Indiana, but again, due to his size and physical gifts, he's going to be limited to a slot receiver at best in the NFL, and I just don't rate that too highly.
Okay. I have at number 25 and the guy you just mentioned, Wop Fillior, or Wop Fillior, however you say his first name. He, when watching some tape of him, I watched him yesterday. He was used a lot in the screen passes, had a lot of speed on him. He just didn't really show anything that was very amazing. Like you said, slot receiver, which in the NFL, there's not a ton of slot receivers. And I think you could really put him in the slot and he could probably have success at the slot because teams are going to be looking for their wide receiver three or their slot receiver. So I think a Wop Fillior, he's at number 25, but teams, when they're going to look at him, they're just going to look at him as a slot player.
Yeah, number 25 for me, I have Tamarion Terry, a guy that was rated really highly for me coming into the season, but we got disappointed again. It's not necessarily his skill, but I think it's the Florida State offense. They never really got to use his gifts, kind of like you were pointing out with Semi Fehoko, although I do disagree with that, but they never really got him to his full potential. Florida State runs a really gimmicky style offense and didn't let him stretch the field like I would have liked him to. So he's coming in at number 25 for me.
Yeah, I got Tamarion Terry outside of the top 30, and I don't really have him in my top 30 just because, like you said, his skills weren't really exceeded or not really used very well in that Florida State offense. So that's why he's outside my top 30. As you can see, like I had Sammy Fehoko at number 30. He didn't really get his abilities used as much. So you can see I had him farther down just because their abilities weren't used as much. But at number 24, I have Marquez Stevenson. I finally have him off here. Marquez Stevenson, great player at Houston. Speed, like I said earlier when I was debating it with Sam, he has great speed. Footwork was better. And I really liked Marquez Stevenson when watching tape of him. He is a deep threat. Like I said earlier, I think he could be a special teamer in the end, like a Cordero Patterson.
Yeah, and it's funny, we have swapped number 30 and number 24 on our list. At number 24, I have Semi Fehoko out of Stanford. This is a really interesting prospect with a lot of potential, in my opinion. He's built like an athletic freak. He should, it looks like on tape that he should be a jump ball guy, and he possesses those airtime skills, but he also ran a 4.42, which is in those high percentiles in the wide receiver rankings. So this is just a developmental guy that could turn into an athletic monster. And maybe you stick him at tight end. Maybe that could be his ideal role as a pass catching inline blocking tight end. But we'll have to see how the NFL utilizes him.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the best tight end that come out of the wide receivers might even be Josh Palmer. I think he could transition to the tight end position because of how big he is, and he kind of runs like a tight end a little. But then at number 23, our first UNC player is off the board with Daz Newsome. At number 23, Daz Newsome, I wasn't really high on Daz Newsome. I believe that Daz Newsome is a good player. I just don't – he wasn't used like he was, Dyami Brown was. He just wasn't used as much, so he wasn't really a great player. He is a very shifty player. You got screen passes to him, so that's really everything he's got is – the speed to me, and he kind of has that catching ability, but he wasn't a huge player on my top 30 players.
Yeah, Daz is another guy that I'll definitely have to reevaluate after his bad pro day performance, but he is a little bit higher, just sneaking into my top 20 for me. At number 23, I have a guy that I think you are pretty high on, but me not so much, and that is Cornell Powell out of Clemson. He was always the number two option for them, in my opinion. I like Amari Rodgers a lot. I think Cornell Powell can be that maybe like number four receiver on a team. Maybe number two is his full potential, but he's definitely an outside wide receiver. But I was disappointed in his 4.51 40 time, which is in the 40 percentile for wide receivers, so I don't think he's much more than a possession receiver on the outside.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, and I have Powell inside the top 15, which you're probably going to be mad at that, where I place him. But here at number 22, this is a player that I have just started watching tape on. I've gotten a feel for him. At number 22, we have Zach Wilson's, I believe, if I heard this right when watching a game of BYU, this was actually Zach Wilson's roommate, Dax Mills, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. Is that correct? Or I don't. Yeah. Dax Mills. I think he is going to be a very underrated prospect in this draft. I've seen him climbing up big boards, and I thought might as well start watching tape on Dax Mills and see what he's got. And he was really the number one target at BYU. The connection with Zach Wilson was very strong. So if like the Jets take Zach Wilson, might as well take Dax Mills later in the draft, because the connection there was very strong. Dax Mills also showed great deep threat ability. He was used everywhere in that BYU offense. BYU was more of the team that kind of showed it wasn't a normal college team with screen passes. They did do that, but not as much with Dax Mills. And I think he could really be a good player in the future. I have him at number 22.
Yeah, him and another guy that's been climbing up draft boards lately, Jonathan Adams Jr., are definitely two wide receiver prospects that I definitely need to get tape into more. So I can't really give a fair assessment on those two players. My number 22, Josh Palmer out of Tennessee. I think a lot of guys have him lower than this, but I don't really care. I think he just has all the traits you need, maybe not the production. He was always stuck behind great receivers at Tennessee, but in some of the reps, you can see the traits, especially at the Senior Bowl, that will make him a pretty solid wide receiver in the NFL. He may transition to tight end, but I think he's that outside possession receiver, so he comes in at number 22 for me.
At number 21, I have the Michigan man, Nico Collins. I know you're not very high on Nico Collins, but I think he's still a top 25 receiver in the draft compared to some of the other players here. I got a lot of smaller school players in the top 20 as that is coming up. Nico Collins, great player, but just not the greatest in this draft. I think he can be a good player in the NFL. He's a stronger receiver, deep threat player, like I said, powerful. And we've never really gotten a glimpse of shorter passes. He was really used deep threat, medium ball. So I can't really evaluate him on the small passes and what he's really done. It's usually been what normal college football player receivers do. They get the ball and then they start doing the shimmy shake and somehow get open and free up and score the touchdown. So that's really, I can't evaluate him from a small pass standpoint, but he's really was used in the deep threat and is a very strong receiver.
Yeah, I'm a tad bit higher on Nico Collins than you are, but at number 21, I have a guy that is very, very similar in play style to Nico Collins. These big body receivers that all they can do is go up from the football, not really much speed attached to them, and that's Sage Surratt out of Wake Forest. He continues to fall down my draft board. He could honestly fall a little bit more. He just doesn't possess any speed, doesn't really possess any route running, but he's going to be a goal line threat, so maybe he's the Dez Bryant we saw for the Ravens this year at his max potential. So he's definitely going to be a guy that I reevaluate and probably move down my board.
I have Sage Surratt right at number 31, so I got him far down. At number 20, this is a guy I finished watching tape of him, Josh Palmer out of Tennessee. He was a guy I really liked out of Tennessee, strong receiver. And the thing that was really his problem was his quarterback. He didn't have any problems for me. It was just, honestly, his quarterback was the problem here. His quarterback never really was a star in the college, never really exceeded. And this O-line at Tennessee, besides Trey Smith, there wasn't really anybody great there. So for Josh Palmer to be a bigger name receiver is a little bit hard for him, but I think he showed when he does get the ball, he is amazing. I really, when watching him, especially the Senior Bowl tape where he really exceeded, he made strong cuts upfield. He always got the ball and the deep route, made it look really easy. So I think Josh Palmer, his speed, depending on what his pro day is, which I'm going to be interesting to know what Josh Palmer's 40-yard dash is, if they already did it. I bet Sam is looking it up. He's smiling at that. But Josh Palmer, really good player. I think he uses a ton of speed, and I have a feeling Sam's about to announce the 40-yard dash of Josh Palmer.
Yeah, so Josh Palmer ran exactly Cornell Powell's time, a 4.51, 42nd percentile for wide receivers. So not as fast as you would like, but as you said, and as I said earlier, I think Palmer possesses great outside receiver traits, and you don't necessarily need speed for that.
And I think he could really transition into a tight end later in his career if he just needs to build up some more strength and get a little bit bigger, because tight ends in this league are bigger and stronger than what he is right now.
Yeah, at number 20, I have a guy that I evaluated, and I think I have him a lot higher maybe than some guys do. But I have Jalen Darden out of North Texas at number 20. He's just a pure speed guy. He ran a 4.46, which was a tad disappointing, but he also is really well-balanced in his footwork, especially on deep routes. He's a deep route runner. He's definitely going to need to work on short and medium route running, but at most he's like a slot and gadget type player. In my opinion, he's gonna be that guy that can swing around the backfield, can take the pitch like a Lynn Bowden, like a Curtis Samuel. You see so many of these guys, but I think he has a defined role, unlike a lot of these guys in the NFL, so he comes in a little bit higher on my list.
Okay, I got at number 19 Shy Smith, or She Smith, however you say his name. This guy, I really think he can exceed. And some of the late wide receivers from South Carolina, like I believe Debo Samuel was a South Carolina alumni. He was really Deebo Samuel. We've seen what he's done. I don't think Shai Smith is built like a Deebo Samuel, but I really think Shai Smith has potential. He was used in like screen passes, short passes. He was even used in deep ball. He was really used in everything. And he did, he exceeded at most everything. He exceeded at most of this stuff. He even in the Senior Bowl showed off at the Senior Bowl. So Shai Smith at number 19 for me. He can even climb up higher for me, but Shai Smith is right now at number 19.
Yeah, my number 19 prospect, a guy that we were not talking about too long ago, is Daz Newsome, a guy that I might have to reevaluate and move down after his pro day. But he was a very, very solid player there at North Carolina, a great box score player. In my opinion, he played on the outside and in the slot and put up great numbers with UNC. But again, that 4.6 40 time is definitely gonna hurt him.
Yes. I have him farther down at number 23 for right now. But at number 18, I got our first smaller school guy out of the next four picks are probably going to be players that some people may not really have heard of. Starting off with number 18 at Jalen Darden out of North Texas. This guy was one I felt he definitely was a very good player at North Texas. Shifty burst of speed out of nowhere. He was really fast. I don't know what his 40 time is, and I know Sam, and once he hears that, is going to start searching it up. But
it's 4.46.
4.46. Yeah, I thought he was pretty fast. But he had tons of burst of speed. Very shifty. He even put a ton of players in the spin cycle, which really teams, he was someone you don't want him in space because he's going to take the space and he's going to do something with it. So really explode, and he's going to take his burst of speed to the end zone.
Yeah, Darden's a guy that I really like as well. Number 18, a guy that you're definitely lower on, and maybe I reevaluate him. But from what I saw, I kind of liked him a little bit more than you do. And that's Seth Williams out of Auburn. He's a possession receiver on the outside. It's hard to find rankings with these slot receivers and outside receivers. It's definitely going to differentiate our rankings a lot, speed versus possession. But he's a guy that's definitely able to sit in the intermediate routes and break his zone coverage, sit down, find the open space, and catch the football. Bo Nix does not help him out at all at Auburn, I have to admit. So it's going to be interesting what NFL scouts think of him. But for right now, he's my number 18 receiver.
Okay. At number 17, continuing the smaller school players, we got Trey Walker, a guy out of San Jose State. I always keep getting it mixed up, the San Jose Spartans. Really good player. He really used in the screen pass and deep passes. He was amazing. He's shifty. He's just like Jalen Darden to me. He has a little bit of a he's a little bit better to me. I think Trey Walker really showed off this year. And one thing that I really think that he did great this year was he turned an 8-yard pass into like a 30-yard pass. That's how good he was. He could turn one play into a big play. So this is one player I really think could be a name you will hear in the top maybe four rounds.
Yeah, it's interesting. These smaller guys' schools, like you just mentioned, and the guy at BYU and Jonathan Adams Jr., I definitely need to research them a little bit more because right now they're all just barely inside my top 35 or 40. So I definitely need to go back and watch some tape on them. At number 17, maybe you consider this a smaller school guy, and I really like him. Frank Darby, you had him a lot lower, but what I saw Frank Darby, he is really quick. He can run the short routes really, really well. He is probably going to end up playing in the slot for most of his time in the NFL. But I think his biggest trait, and it's kind of like Mac Jones, and he's just the ultimate team leader. He didn't run that fast. He ran a 4.56, but he's always there cheering on his teammates, kind of like you saw with Najee Harris. And I think that's a really big leadership quality, and that will translate to the NFL.
Yeah, leadership is definitely key, but right now his skill isn't really showing it. So that's why Frank Darby is 10 spots, exactly 10 spots behind where you have him. Next I have, this is kind of ending the smaller school guys. There's still another smaller school guy left after this guy. It is Cade Johnson from the San Diego State, South Dakota State. I keep mixing these teams up. The Jackrabbits. Cade Johnson was a really good receiver at South Dakota State. FCS, he destroyed the competition, which is, don't get it mixed up with the FBS, which is different to the FCS. The FBS, if you don't know, is the Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. The FCS is with North Dakota State, South Dakota State, James Madison, all those powerhouses in the FCS. But for Johnson, he destroyed the competition in every game besides two in 2019. He had an average of 10-plus yards. He actually had a couple of games with 20-plus yards. And then in the Senior Bowl, he proved to get a higher grade to me. He really blew past defenders, and he was playing against FBS cornerbacks, and he really exceeded there. So that's one thing that really impressed me. So this is why he's at number 16.
Yeah, my number 16 wide receiver is also Cade Johnson.
Let's go.
We finally get one correct. But two other points I wanted to bring up. He did run a 4.49. It's a little bit faster than I was expecting, which is another reason why I have him this high up. But as you said, he possesses great skill. His only knock is that he's probably most likely going to be a slot-only guy. But, you know, slot guys that can produce – it's not a bad thing. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've heard of him. I don't know why I wouldn't mention him if I didn't know him. But here at number 15, this is a player you will not like being at number 15, Amari Rodgers. He didn't prove to me at Clemson that he was the number one. I like him. I honestly think a perfect match could be Tampa Bay. I don't know why, it's just in my head that Amari Rodgers and Tampa Bay fit together. But I just liked Cornell Powell. I feel like he did better than Amari Rodgers at Clemson. Amari Rodgers, he was used in the short passes, which I'm not really sure the NFL is. They're using a lot of short passes nowadays, but teams are going to look at the deep threat guys and really look at them. He also, one thing I didn't really like was when he was in man-to-man, it was kind of like if when you're a wide receiver and you hear footsteps coming, you kind of get a little freaked out about that. But I think that's something that could definitely be developed. I just thought Amari Rodgers, he's still a top 15 wide receiver in this class. I just think Cornell Powell was better target for Trevor Lawrence and could be a future NFL player more than Amari Rodgers.
Yeah, I have Amari Rodgers a little higher up on my list, and I'll get into why I really like him when we're there. But for right now, I think it's not too outrageous to put Amari Rodgers at 15, but I think your grade on Cornell Powell is going to be pretty outrageous.
It is. For you, at least.
So my number 15 is a guy that you had a little bit lower on your list. It's Nico Collins. I really don't hate him, but he's just a possession receiver. He's going to be able to run those short routes, and he's going to be able to, find the end zone like we saw from Dez Bryant this year, just a jump ball receiver. And he was pretty solid at the Senior Bowl, but as I mentioned, he doesn't possess much speed at all. However, he did run a 4.42, which I was really impressed by at his pro day, and that made me bump him up a lot. He didn't play with speed at all in his tape, but he ran a 4.42, so that's pretty impressive in my books.
Okay, okay. At number 14, I got my probably second Pac-12 wide receiver coming off the board. Guy's name, Amon-Ra St. Brown, brother, I believe, of the Packers, St. Brown. I don't know how to say his first name, but he really showed a lot of great skills at USC. He got a comparison for me was really, you might be a little surprised, Kenny Golladay, because of the size, really looked the same. Both jump ball players, both strong receivers. And he also was something that I really think a team like the Chargers, or right now actually the Lions, because Anthony Lynn, when watching the show Hard Knocks, he really liked blocking wide receivers. That was something he really liked about, like, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So I think Amon-Ra St. Brown could be a huge player. I think he could be a Detroit Lions second-round pick, but I'm not going to be too positive about that one. But I really think Amon-Ra St. Brown is here at number 14.
Yeah, I don't particularly have a second-round grade on him or my next few guys. I don't think I have a second-round grade until number 10 or number 9 receiver. But it's still definitely a possibility. My number 14 receiver is Chetarius Tutu Atwell out of Louisville. I think he's this guy, kind of like Jalen Darden, kind of like Amari Rodgers, that we're always talking about. Running back flexibility, but really just a slot wide receiver that can do it all. He was a great speedster for that team, and I think that it will translate well to the NFL.
Come on, could you have just waited like one more pick? Because I have Tutu Atwell at 13. You could have just waited, Sam. Would it be nice? So Tutu Atwell, just basically all you said, he's a great player. Speed is one thing he really showed off. He was at Louisville, he was obviously the number one receiver on the team. He really showed how good he was at Louisville. I don't really need to talk about him too much since Sam kind of covered how good he is.
Yeah, and you could have been nice to me as well. Number 13, Amon-Ra St. Brown for me. Amon-Ra St. Brown, a very, very solid wide receiver. He can play in the slot. He could also play in the outside. But kind of like a Nico Collins type, possession receiver, doesn't really carry much speed. And I think the difference and why he's not much higher on my board, he ran that dreaded 4.51 40-yard dash time. So he's a really great receiver, but just doesn't possess the speed and is going to definitely need to work on his footwork and route running.
Next here at number 12, this one Sam's going to get mad at. I know he's going to get mad at this next one. He already probably knows who it is with that. Cornell Powell at number 12. This one, this just shows you how high I am on Cornell Powell. Great deep threat player. He was the quarterback's friend, in my opinion. He had a great year this season. He's also a very tough guy to guard. 50-50 balls, he mostly wins it, so make it more 80-20 balls because he wins it mostly. And is just a very strong player. And Trevor Lawrence, he was one of his favorite deep threat targets. And with Jaguars kind of in need of a wide receiver, maybe go with his deep threat friend and make the Jaguars fans excited for when Trevor Lawrence throws. So I got Cornell Powell at number 12.
Yeah, Powell is exactly 11 spots below where you have him. I mean, honestly, I think more times than not at his career in Clemson, he was bailed out by Trevor Lawrence. And that's just my opinion on him. He's still a very solid receiver, but I don't think he possesses those great traits. But
also, he showed it this year with Justin Ross being out, it showed he showed up. So shows how good he is with the star out. He can replace.
I mean, to each their own. I don't personally like him too much. At number 12, I have a guy that I think you're a tad higher on, but we both have him in the same general range. It's Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan. I think he's a really solid wideout. He was a big Senior Bowl riser for sure, and he also ran a 4.38 40 time, 89th percentile, and that's really going to help him rise with these bigger schooled guys. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. And I think he's just that dynamic playmaker, kind of like a Diami Brown, kind of like a Rondale Moore. And it'll be interesting to see where he lands.
I have Dwayne Eskridge just one more spot ahead of where you have him at number 11. Great player. Speed is the key for Dwayne Eskridge. He just, every single pass, he's a great slant receiver and just runs right up the middle. If you see a lot of plays and watch a lot of tape on him, he does the slant, he gets the ball, he does a burst of speed, and just turns into turbo because he just puts on the gas and he goes. Very great player, and his route running is also another thing I really saw very good. And his first move to get the guy off, his speed helps him a lot. So I think he's going to be climbing up the board.
Yeah, my number 11 player is a guy that we both had in the same general range, but I do have a little bit higher, a guy that's been rising up my board for a little bit of time now is Amari Rodgers out of Clemson. I think that he is that typical wide receiver running back, dual threat guy. He ran a dreaded 4.51, but he also showed off his strength in the 99th percentile of wide receivers in the bench press. I just really like him. I compare him a lot to Demetric Felton. He's in that range for me. But at his pro day, he showed that he can run short, medium, and deep routes. And that was really one of my biggest questions at Senior Bowl as well. I was wondering how good his route running would be in all three levels of the field. And he proved it to me. So I think that he could really step up his game and be that really elevated Curtis Samuel type level in the slot for a team. And I think he could really be utilized in a system like the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, a team that should be going cornerback in round one, but definitely need to give Devontae Adams some help. And with the loss of Aaron Jones and the loss of Jamal Williams, that pass catching back out of the backfield, I think he could be a very, very good fit there.
And number 10, I got the Oklahoma State Cowboy, Tylan Wallace. He was a guy I really liked when watching him. He was number one, the jump ball catcher. This is a guy I feel like can really transition to the NFL quickly because the NFL, there's medium passes, and that's really where he was used at a ton. I really was excited for when I was watching him. He was really a really good player at Oklahoma State, and I can see him being better in the NFL because I think he's going to be able to be one of the better transition players to the NFL.
Yeah, my number 10 receiver is Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma. I think we definitely disagreed on a lot of the smaller name schools. It's very hard in the bottom regions to separate the possession receivers from the slot guys and the speedsters. But I think we're going to find a lot of similarities in this top 10 as we watched a lot of tape on all these guys, as you mentioned. He's a great receiver, route runner, and it's definitely going to be interesting to see what his pro day looks like on April Fool's Day.
On April Fool's Day, yeah. Here at number 9, I have a feeling, like you said, there's going to be a lot of agreements coming up, but there also could be a lot of disagreements coming up, so who knows. At number 9, I got Diami Brown out of UNC. I see some hands up for Sam and excitement. I think that Brown, he's probably the best deep ball threat in this class. Strong player, very good a very good one. He has speed, like I said, able to get extra yards, create space for himself. And also, like Sam said, we both watched a ton of tape on these next coming players. So our rankings are pretty solid at these first ones or these next couple of ones.
Yeah. So as well, my number nine is Diami Brown. He ran a 4.46, which is a little bit slower than I was expecting, but he is the ultimate speedster, dynamic playmaker guy for UNC on tape. He can run definitely medium, short, and deep routes. And I really like him as that deep threat guy that can play on the outside. He can also play in the slot. And I think that's a really good pick at number nine.
At number 10 or number eight, excuse me, I was going up instead of going down for our last couple. At number eight, I got Elijah Moore coming here at number eight. Last time I showed my rankings to Sam, I had him a little further down. I just didn't really think he was a top of the line player. But now, as the couple of days have gone by, I think, I honestly think Elijah Moore could be a perfect fit for the Packers. I honestly think that. I don't think they're going wide receiver round one, but I think he could be a perfect fit for the Green Bay Packers. But Elijah Moore is a great player out of Ole Miss, one of the only players who could actually beat Patrick Surtain on the offensive side, which if you can beat Patrick Surtain, that means there's something good with you. So I got Elijah Moore here at number eight.
Elijah Moore also coming in at number eight for me, but this is a guy that I have fallen in love with and could go even higher, in my opinion. His one setback is that he's a slot-only guy, and that's really what's holding me back. But the talent is there. He ran a 4.35, 93rd percentile for 40-yard dash, and he is excellent with agility and quickness. And in the passing game, he's a threat to score whenever he touches the ball. And despite his 5'9 height, he has the toughness to go up and make those aggressive catches in traffic. And he's an excellent route runner and run after catch player. So this is a guy that I really like in terms of skill. His only setback is that he's going to be a slot only player.
Yeah, I wrote a lot about him, but I gave a little summary of it here. At number seven, I got Rondale Moore. He is a guy who's going to climb up because of his pro day. I think that really, it showed how good he is, honestly. I think that showed how good he is, his pro day. I don't know how fast he ran. I know it was like a 4.0. I want to say 2-something, but I could be wrong on that. He was pretty fast at his pro day. And then he also was amazing in other stuff, but he climbed up my board for that. He's also a very shifty player, fast player. I think I can see this guy going round two, early round two, and I think the perfect fit for me is Carolina for him.
Yeah, I think that he's a very, very solid player as well. I actually have him a little bit higher, one spot ahead. He actually ran a 4.29, if you're wondering. That's 98th percentile.
Oh, yeah, I was assuming a 4.2 something because he's fast.
Yeah, at number seven, I have Terrace Marshall Jr. out of LSU, a guy that has really been under the spotlight a little bit with Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson there last year. But he's a really, really solid deep threat and short route running player. But on those medium posts, on those seam routes, I think he could be a little bit better, sharper cuts, I would say. He takes sometimes a wide angle to the football, which isn't exactly ideal. But he's that typical X receiver on the outside, and he's going to be able to be that possession guy that you're looking for.
Okay, at number It's number six. I got Terrace Marshall out of LSU, like you had. I think Marshall is going to be a solid wide receiver too in this league. I don't think he's ever going to be a wide receiver one, but this is like one of those players that all of a sudden is going to be the best wide receiver two in this draft. I think I'm really believing that he is the best wide receiver two player in this draft. I think he's going to be a star at the wide receiver two on any team that he goes to. And he even showed that in LSU, especially in 2019, because he didn't, in this year, 2020, he didn't really show in the spotlight. And I think that was one thing that really drove me to put him as, say, that he's a solid wide receiver too. So Terrence Marshall at number six, I'm a little higher on him than you are, but I got him at number six.
Yeah, number six, I have Rondale Moore, flip-flop the order there. This is a guy that some people have higher. I've seen higher for Rondale Moore, but this one thing really holds me back, and it's his medical history. He's dealt with many injuries his whole career at Purdue, and he really just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But when he's on the field, he's electric, kind of like Elijah Moore in all the same ways. He's dangerous when he has the ball in his hands. And from the slot, he can make plays. He's a great route runner. And so in that regard, he's a very, very similar prospect to Elijah Moore.
At number five, I got a shifty player. His name is Kadarius Toney. It's almost like he dances out on the field because, well, his footwork and just the way Florida uses him, it's just like amazing at how he has succeeded in the in college football, because they just really use him as the short route screen pass player, which I'm surprised players have been succeeding at this and then turning into a great player in college football or in NFL. But I think Kadarius Toney, he also showed good deep ball routes. He was also a solid medium route player. And I think Kadarius Toney could be a player that teams like for years to come.
Yeah, number five, I also have Kadarius Toney. It's definitely going to be interesting what he runs at his pro day tomorrow. But like you said, he's dancing all the time. He's that slot running back guy, kind of like Amari Rodgers, but much, much faster. He did show a few drops at the Senior Bowl, but it shouldn't be a concern. He only had a few drops in his whole career at Florida. And I think while he isn't as polished as a true route runner yet, I think that his athletic gifts will rise him to the top of draft boards.
Yeah. At number four, one of my favorite players in this draft, not the best player in the draft, but one of my favorites. At number four here is Rashad Bateman. He is amazing player, reminds me of Keenan Allen, could use him in the slot, use him in the outside. Keenan Allen of the Chargers is like that. He's a very good route runner. He is amazing in space. He has a lot of things that he can that I could talk about, but I really think Rashad Bateman could be a really good player in the NFL and maybe even a wide receiver one on a team.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have Rashad Bateman at number four, and like you said, he's a typical X. He can also play in the inside, kind of like the Keenan Allen comparison that you made with him. And I honestly think that some draft boards could have him ahead of Devonta Smith as long as they're comfortable with that. I know that for a long time we've been used to seeing the big three receivers, but Devonta Smith's size might hold him back on some teams' draft boards, but not necessarily on mine. But he has all the skills needed to be a very, very talented player at the next level. And it will be definitely interesting to see his pro day on April 1st.
Yeah, I know. I was a little bit thinking about putting Rashad Bateman in front of Devontae Smith, but to me, it just didn't feel right to have Devontae Smith at number four. It just didn't seem normal to have him there. And Rashad Bateman, I think you could get used to seeing him at number three. I just don't see him at number three right now. I think Smith still has a lock right now at number three. And like I just said, Devontae Smith is at number three. Size, like you said, is kind of holding him back. Jamar Chase, as I've been watching him, a lot of people, Jalen Waddle at number one. You'll see who I have at number one. But Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle, really, I think, Sam has said in the past that it's like a 1A, 1B, 1C, because all these players are really good in these top three. But I think it's officially like a 1A and 1B, and then you go to number two, because I don't think they're I think right now it's Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle fighting for the number one spot. But Smith, screen pass, he's figured out of being a player in space, creating space for himself, and he's been a good runner at Bama, Heisman Trophy winner. So we'll see what happens, but I think he's number three for me.
Yes, same. As you said, 1A, 1B, 1C, not so much. I think that Devonta Smith is a clear number three wide receiver in this draft. While he did win the Heisman, that doesn't really play into my evaluation at all. Just because you win an award doesn't mean that you're a much better player. He also could have won that because he took like 50% of Alabama's targets because Jaylen Waddle was hurt for a lot of the year. As you said, a screen pass guy, but very, very dynamic in the open field. Very good route runner as well, but his size might hold him back at the next level.
Yes. At number two, I think we're going to be agreeing on our order here, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is number two. I honestly think he could really go up to number one in my rankings, but Jaylen Waddle right now is a lock right now at number one. As I've been watching tape, I honestly thought at first, at least a month ago, I had Devonta Smith before any of these players. Then I had Jaylen Waddle. Then I had Ja'Marr Chase. But then I had Jaylen Waddle over Devonta Smith. Then this is so far in my wide receiver rankings right now, I got Ja'Marr Chase at number two because he is a really good player at LSU. Jump ball player, had 900 plus yards games in 2019 and a game over one and had over 1,700 yards total in his last year at LSU. Very reliable target, and I think this guy could be a really solid add for any team. And there's been talk that he goes at number five. We'll see if that happens, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. We could have a little debate right here. We've been hearing a lot of rumors. Joe Burrow on social media has been wanting and has been telling the Bengals front office he's campaigning for Ja'Marr Chase. He wants Ja'Marr Chase at number five. A lot of us have been saying if they don't draft offensive tackle, they are passing on Joe Burrow. When in reality, Joe Burrow wants his former LSU teammate that he was so successful with and won the national championship with. And so with that information out, then you start to wonder, well, who's going to really take Penei Sewell? Because in a recent post by an NFL draft analyst, they actually said that twos actually talked to the teams. The only team in the top five that's actually interested in taking Sewell is the Cincinnati Bengals. As crazy as that may sound, this dream prospect might be sliding down some draft boards. I also have Ja'Marr Chase as my wide receiver too. If you guys were wondering, we're going to agree on these last two right here. Ja'Marr Chase, again, a great jump ball receiver, but that debate at number five is really going to be key to set the tone for the whole draft.
We might need to save this for another podcast to do, but I'll give my real quick. You're putting me on the spot, especially with me. I know I've said over and over again that if you pass on Sewell, you pass on Burrow, but then you just talk the narrative of Sewell to Chase and Burrow. Here's the thing. I think if you pass on Sewell, here's the thing. You're passing on a generational offensive tackle, and Cincinnati still has money in their cap space, but I haven't seen really, I haven't looked at the O-line prospect or not prospects, but free agents out there next season, but they're all going to be in their 30s most likely, because that's what the O-linemen are really now in free agency, are either 30 years old or something like that. The best O-line prospect that's young best free agent next year might be Wyatt Teller, but Cleveland, they have money and they're going to probably spend it on Wyatt Teller, probably Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield. So really it's going to be coming down to, are they going to use their money in free agency for O-line, or are they going to get a player who's probably, I believe it's 20 or 21 right now, and he's going to be on a 4-year deal and it's going to be a lot younger than a 30-year-old who might be in the league for a couple more years.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting one. And I'll go first for my wide receiver one because I have a lot to say for sure. Jalen Waddle, the ultimate, my ultimate draft crush. He comes in as my number three overall prospect in this draft on my updated big board. I think that he's just a generational talent at wide receiver. If he can get over this ankle injury that really held him out this whole season, kudos to him for being tough and risking his career and playing in the national championship game. But Jalen Waddle, amazing route runner, amazing speed. If he, I don't think he's going to try out at the pro day. Am I right? Yeah.
I don't know. I know Najee is just not running the 40-yard dash for his ankle.
Yeah, we'll see if Waddle's there. But even if Waddle doesn't do his pro day, this is one of the cleanest route runners, one of the fastest players coming out of a draft that we've ever seen. And the only right comp for Jalen Waddle is Tyreek Hill. That's how good this man is. He's going to be a true number one receiver for any team that drafts him. And as long as he can get over this scary injury, I think he's going to be one of the best wide receivers for years to come.
He is not doing his pro day. It says Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle won't work out at Alabama's pro day. So if that gives you anything, but both players will not be working out the pro day, both injury, looking at their injuries right now. But Jalen Waddle, I think you kind of summed it up. I think this is a great prospect. Number one, a wide receiver, top five player in this draft, tons of speed on the outside, able to catch in traffic and turn up the field for a touchdown or just extra yards. And I think Sam really just summed it up for us. And Jalen Waddle is probably one of the best prospects in this draft.
Yeah, I'm going to have to totally agree with that. And that's going to conclude our top 30 wide receivers.
Yes, so if you watched all the way to here or you simmed a little to get to our top 10, well, thank you for watching at least. I'm Tyler Finberg. It was Sam alongside me. You can check him out at BigBlue26 at DiscussTheGame.com if you want to check him out and see some of his draft content, which is really good. You can go check him out and also check out FinSportsman.com as I have a couple articles that I'm writing, and I'll see when I'm posting them. But thank you so much again, Sam, for coming on. I'm Tyler Finberg. Thank you so much for watching. Until next time.